All right. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:10 p.m. Before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath you have taken. The Students' Union would also like to honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship by acknowledging that this meeting is taking place on Treaty 6 territory. So before I get into attendance, go through a couple quick items of speaker's business. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, August 25th at 6 p.m. right back in this room. On the late additions, there was a little bit of an error. Item 6A, Board and Committee Business, should be an information item, not a Board and Committee Business item. Also, as happens every year, the council scholarship kind of crept up on me, so I'll be sending out a PDF later this week, as well as having a printed copy available for you at the front desk of the SU offices so that you can submit your council scholarships. We'll say the deadline is Friday, the Friday before the next meeting of Students' Council at 8 a.m., so the submission for the main agenda items, if that works for everyone. Also, because there are no items on the main agenda, again, it's been a couple times this summer, unless Council has some objection, I'm going to be special ordering all of the items from the late additions onto the main agenda. Finally, I believe Deborah sent out a Students' Council survey. Please fill that out before August 21st at noon, so you have 10 days to fill that out. Yeah, wonderful. So we'll go through attendance very quickly while I get the projector set it up. Wonderful. All right, so President Kinda is not here. Vice President Rahman. Vice President Hanwell. Vice President Vonderchuk.
Here.
Vice President Kwan. Governor Khan.
Here.
Councillor Allard. Councillor Tronson.
Here.
Ms. Edwards for Councillor Zhang.
Here.
Councillor Burton.
Here.
Councillor DeYoung.
Here.
Councillor Schlamp.
Here.
Ms. Bannister for Councillor Angus.
Here.
Councillor Patches.
Here.
Councillor Johnden. Mr. Fedosky for Councillor Chang.
Here.
Councillor Patrick. Mr. Wong for Councillor Jason Wong.
Yeah.
Ms. Karunakaran for Councillor Yu. Councillor Singh.
Present.
Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Proxy for Councillor Doan. Not here. Councillor Flamin.
Present.
Ms. Unwer for Councillor Hodgson.
Here.
Councillor Roussel.
Here.
Mr. Samal for Councillor McKinnon.
Present.
Councillor Alex Kwan.
Present.
Mr. Vemula for Councillor Duan.
Here.
Was that close enough? Is that... Okay. Councillor Adamaj.
Present.
Councillor Kevin Wong.
Here.
Councillor Xu. Ms. Hudson for Councillor Mostafis.
Here.
Councillor Lewis.
Aye.
And I'm here. Wonderful. I don't think the general manager is here. All right. So as stated earlier, moving all of the late edition items onto the main agenda. There are no presentations, so we'll move directly into executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? Wonderful. Moving right along here with board and committee reports. Do any members of any boards or any committee chairs wish to make a report?
Go ahead. So we had an emergency meeting on the Board of Governors on the 29th, and this is basically a meeting to rescind the market modifiers for domestic students and basically reapproving the one for international students, the market modifier. So essentially, both of those motions ended up passing. The only two people who voted against the international market modifier was me and President Gidna. JSAFE president is basically abstained, and everyone else voted to increase it. So some of the questions that I kind of received about it was how come it was so much of an increase, at least as far as the law was concerned, which was a $12,000 increase and significantly more than the other ones. And the answer that I received
you very much, Governor Kahn. Any other members of any boards or committee chairs wish to make a report? Councilor Adamash?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to make a presentation on behalf of CAC. So we talked about town halls in the last CAC meeting and also in the last Students Council meeting. So there has been a proposal put through CAC. All members of CAC agreed to it, and I believe all councillors, or most councillors, are in favor of it as well. You'll see the proposal in the back and information item. If you have any problems with it, or you have any concerns with it, or your opinions on it, please let me know. And you just want to organize this soon enough, so you're not scurrying about it in the first couple of weeks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Councillor Adamaj. Any other reports? Seeing none, we'll move into question period. There are no written submitted questions, so we'll start our first 15 minutes with some oral questions. Does anyone have any oral questions? Yes, Councillor Patches.
For Councillor Adamaj on the town hall proposal, everything looks pretty good. The only question I have is the proposed date of Wednesday, September 9th. And the reason I bring up this question is those first couple of weeks are quite busy for those of us that are involved in the faculty associations and other on-campus involvement. So those first couple of weeks in September are usually in the madhouse. And if we're concerned about attendance, then it might be wise to push that a little bit further in September when the students are not available.
Councilor Adamash?
Definitely the date there, it's a proposed date. I'd say it's firm. I don't think we're going to have every town hall on the same day. In terms of why we put this place in the first couple of weeks, it's mostly because I would say on personal experience, after the first 2 weeks, you become more involved with school and your studies, but you actually have to go to classes after the first 2 weeks. So I feel like within that range, I think, would have been the best period, because that's when people are more involved, that's when people go to more of these introduction meetings. And also, there has been the idea of groups where you you combine almost with the faculty association. I know, the counselor is also involved with the faculty association. That day could be held later in the third or fourth week. However, September 9th is just something that if you're not involved with the faculty association and it's only us planning it, that's the day that we'll hold it. So.
Thank you very much. Mr. Samau.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is also for Councilor Adamash. I just want to say I think this is an awesome idea, not only for all the faculties covered on North Campus, but satellite campuses as well. Personally, I can say that St. John and students would be very receptive to this kind of event. And if Mr. Adamash would appreciate help or wants help organizing it with CSJ, I could probably put him in touch with the right people because I don't want to do it. So, thank you. I think it's good to be here.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, commentary is lovely. Question period is time for questions. So make sure that there are questions. Other questions for question period? Seeing no other questions. Yes, Councillor Adamaj.
I'd like to ask thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the VP Operations Finance, ever since our Students' Council meeting, what's the progress on the SU logo and whether or not what stage we are in? I know there was a bit of a divided opinion on what the logo should be, so just have to know more info about that.
Yes, thank you for the question. After we took council suggestions and straw poll back to design, they tweaked a few more of the things with the kerning, which is something that the GM is for some reason weirdly obsessed about, but that's fine. It's the letter spacing. He talked about it at length in his presentation. And it went to exec, and we've approved the new logo unanimously, so over the next few weeks or so, it will be doing a slow rollout. For anyone who wasn't here at the last meeting, it isn't a massive departure from the logo that currently exists. It's like a modern, kind of smoothed out, smoothie-ish. Think Pepsi's new logo. It's basically the same thing, but it's nice and, modern. We'll be rolling it out over the next few weeks. A lot of the things that we've sent to print in terms of orientation or some of our services material will still be using the old logo, but going forward, everything will do a slow transition into the new logo. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for question period? Seeing none, Closed question period there. We'll move on to board and committee business, of which there is none. So we'll move on to general orders. With item 7A, Tronson moves to, upon recommendation of bylaw committee, approve the following in first reading based on the following first principles. An upper limit shall be set on the amount of posters and the amount of banners a candidate for GFC and or Students Council may display in any one building. Is there a seconder for this motion? Mr. Wong? Councilor Jason Wong? Councilor Tronson, would you like to introduce your motion?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During the last council election campaign, this issue was brought to attention because in bylaw 2300, which is the bylaw governing council elections, section 28 reads, no candidate shall have, or hang on, sorry, section 29, my mistake. In any given building at any given time, a candidate shall have more than 16 posters. Now, typically, I would consider this to be an editorial change. However, since I'm told it does substantively alter the meaning of the bylaw, we have to go through first principles. So here we find ourselves today. So basically, we're going to add in the word no before more, and it will read, a candidate shall have no more than 16 posters, which I think was the intent all along. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tronson. Is there any debate on this particular motion? Yes, Councillor Flyman.
I would like to vote in favor of this motion, as I find the requirement to have more than a certain amount of posters in any building at any time to be financially unfeasible.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. Any other debate on this particular item? Is anyone opposed to carrying this item unanimously? Anyone wish to abstain from this particular motion? Seeing none, wonderful, the motion is carried. Congratulations, Councillor Tronson. That will move on to item 7B. Tronson moves to, upon recommendation of bylaw committee, approve the following in first reading based on the following first principles. Conditions for the use of disqualification shall be made clear in the same section in which other penalties are outlined instead of in a separate section. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Kwan? Councillor Tronson, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you. This one is just kind of cleaning up the bylaws. It's in both bylaw 2200 and 2300. There's a separate section for disqualification. Bylaw committee felt that it makes sense to just list all the penalties in one section rather than having disqualification as some separate thing. And that's what this change will do.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Tronson. Is there any debate on this particular motion? Is there anyone opposed to carrying this motion? Anyone who wishes to abstain from this motion? Seeing none, wonderful. Congratulations again, Councillor Tronson. Carries unanimously. We'll move on to item 7C. Bonnerchuk DeYoung moved to, upon recommendation of policy committee, approve a political policy on gender in first reading based on the following first principles. Because we have ample amounts of time, I will actually read out the first principles. And also note a change in point three, so please listen carefully. Students deserve equitable treatment regardless of their gender identity and or biological sex. Two, not all students identify their gender to be within the male-female binary. Three, it is not always necessary for administrations to require students to disclose their gender and or biological sex outside of medical reasons. Four, students who do not identify within the male-female gender binary are denied access to gendered spaces on campus. Five, transgender students may feel misgendered or unsafe in gendered spaces on campus. Six, gender non-binary students are excluded from important university documents, such as the Code of Student Behavior, when students are referred to as he or she. Seven, existing alternatives to gendered spaces on campus do not have appropriate signage to address their inclusivity. Eight, students face barriers to obtaining non-binary living conditions in housing and residence. Vice President Bonnerchuk, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would. Excellent. So, as you just heard, this is First Principles for a Political Policy on Gender for the Students' Union. It covers a number of themes, so I'm just kind of going to go through it in point form. The first one is that overarching theme that students do deserve to be treated equitably regardless of where their gender or sex or any of that falls on the spectrum. Number two, not all students identify their gender to be within the male and female binary. It is widely accepted that there are people who are intersex, transgender, identify outside the binary, or are just like agender. They don't really identify with a gender. And it is a fact that proportionally it would be incredibly unlikely if students on this campus did not, if everybody did fit within the binary here. Point three, not always necessary for administrations to require students to disclose gender. What I found here doing research is that a lot of university documents, when looking at students, identify them and like codify their gender in demographic information. While I think that if institutions want to be able to track this, that's totally fine. I don't have a problem with that, but they shouldn't have to compel students to answer those questions, especially when currently, while VeriTrax does allow you to change your gender on VeriTrax by phoning the registrar's office, they don't have options outside of male and female. And people that fall outside of there shouldn't have to be forced to go with one. For four, students who do not identify within the binary are denied access to gender spaces. This is anything from washrooms, of course, to being socially denied or physically denied. Physically denied in the sense of different parts of Greek life where there isn't really a catch-all type of Greek society that allows that. And while a lot of Greek chapters like fraternities, women's fraternities, and sororities are doing a lot of great work with like kind of increasing what types of people and who they perceive to be able to be part of their membership, those aren't consistent. As well as washrooms and creating those alternatives to gendered spaces, which is, of course, one of the goals, something I want to do this year. Transgender students may feel misgendered or unsafe. That's kind of popped on that second, or on the last one, on the previous one, sorry, to say that we really do need these types of spaces and alternatives to gendered spaces to make students just really feel safe and feel comfortable in their community. When you, like, it gets a bit too far into it, but when you really think about it, it doesn't really matter if your genitals match the person who you're going to the washroom. That's not, I mean, we just don't want to be in the washroom with anyone, but, Number six. Excluded from university documents. This one was surprising, and this one is really a quick change. We would advocate to have the code of student behavior reflect what SU bylaws and documents do now, replacing like the phrase he or she or him or her with a gender-neutral they. Currently, I mean, a student could probably argue that they can't be charged under it if they're non-binary. I don't want more students to be charged under the code. It excludes this whole set of students, which I think is beyond unfair. Existing alternatives to gendered spaces do not have appropriate signage. This would allow the students union to advocate for more neutral signage when looking at things like inclusive washrooms, inclusive change rooms. Currently, they do have, like, gendered washrooms will have, like, the male and female stick figures up there, but that is not all the genders that exist. And eight, students do face barriers in obtaining non-binary living conditions. It is possible under Resident Services new policy to be able to request gender-inclusive housing, or you do have to sit down with a gender counselor, and I find that kind of inappropriate that a school has to say, like, we won't clear you to live with someone who doesn't match you gender-wise unless we, like, determine that it's okay, like it's some sort of disorder still, which is horrible and obviously not true. So the point of this is just so we're able to advocate for students to have just a better time on campus for those who may not fit within the binary. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bondarchuk. Very appropriate use of all 4 minutes.
Oh, I like that.
Is there any debate on this particular motion? Yes, Mr. Wong.
I have a few questions about it. It doesn't really say what the council is going to like have in the policy. It just has a whole bunch of statements, which I do agree with. It's just what direction are you going to take with the policy, or what direction will we take with the policy?
Thank you very much, Mr. Wong. Any other items of debate for this particular motion? Yes, Vice President Bondarchuk.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Largely the first principles, the idea is to outline like the principles and what our values are and what we want to do. Certainly the second reading will go into more detail about what the actual action statements will be. Some of the things that I could probably look at for them would be advocating to the university to be able to change a lot of these, kind of in a two-stage system to say, ideally, we wouldn't like you to track gender at all, but if you have to, please, please include more options. I think a lot of this, part of what I've been doing when I'm meeting with like the university architect around things for the washrooms or creating these spaces, it's gotten into talks, like we've gotten far enough that I feel that since there isn't a specific political policy around this, the SU stance can be vague, and I'd like to like gain the support of council, thereby the students, to see that people really want this to happen, or if it's just something that I really like and want to do. In terms of like the policy, a lot of it's going to be very advocacy statements saying we would like the university to do these things, or to remove he and she from employee student behavior, or to just really create these alternatives. The broad scope, like it's a lot of different points and a lot of different goals that I want to achieve, but the main point of it is to be able, the overarching theme is just to make sure that people are treated equitably on campus, regardless of how they identify.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bonnarchuk. Any other points of debate, this particular motion? Seeing none, go to a vote. All those in favor of item 7C, Bonnarchuk, DeYoung, move to upon recommendation of policy committee, approve political policy on gender in first reading based on the following first principles. Please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Wonderful. That motion carries unanimously. Doesn't look like there are any other items on the agenda. So we'll quickly take attendance again, 20 minutes after we took attendance the first time. And, yeah. Before we go into attendance, a couple things I would encourage of Students' Council, and I don't know if Council wants me as a speaker to go in this direction. First thing is, if you know you're going to submit an item onto the agenda, please do so before Friday at 8 a.m. It's nice to be able to debate items which counselors are fully informed on. Unfortunately, when late editions come out 4 hours before a meeting starts, counselors aren't always the most informed about these particular items. These items, I think, were pretty one-sided in their nature, but future items can be two-sided and have a lot more debate. You want the most informed counsel possible when debating particular items. I don't know if council is interested in this, but if in the future, if an agenda, the main agenda has no items for presentations or motions or anything like that, the other option is always to cancel the meeting. So, I heard from this half of the room, I don't know about that half, but assuming that council wants to go in this direction, if there are no items, we can just cancel the meeting and move any items that were not on the main agenda for whatever reason and were supposed to be on the late editions to the next agenda for Students' Council. So that's something to keep in mind also. If council would like, I can just email everybody out, get a general feel for how council feels, and then we can go from there. I know that council... Sorry, Council Fleming, I'll get to you in a second. I know that council expressed kind of concern with a previous meeting that lasted basically just as long as this one, where only a few items were dealt with. We wasted a bunch of money on food, and to be very frank and honest, and this is going on the recording, you wasted a bunch of money paying me to come out here and sit for 25 minutes to, I don't know, go through three motions. So you're also paying a recording secretary to do this too, so just be mindful of student funds, but... Councilor Flyman.
Regarding said topic, I do have something in the works, a proposed change to standing orders that I would like to solicit your opinion on.
Sure. Okay. We can talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
So, all that being said, apologies if it felt like a lecture. I'm not trying to be an old father figure type. I'm just trying to give you a few words of advice. Is council okay with just going off of the assumption that no one has entered the room and no one has left? I'm assuming no one came in the room after we took attendance. Council's okay with it. Just a adjourn at 6:35 p.m. Sorry, hopefully you didn't feel like I was throwing you under the bus there at the end.
Oh, no, that's okay.